I'd now ask that you give our brother Andy your careful and prayerful attention.
Good evening to each of you. As usual, I come with a lot of thoughts upon my heart, my mind. I was a little concerned about the announcements. They said there was going to be a white elephant gift exchange at my house this Thursday night. Sounds pretty dangerous to my house, all those white elephants running around in there. But no one's ever been able to tell me exactly what a white elephant is. But anyway, hopefully my house will survive. I would like to begin this evening with a scripture in Jeremiah in the 17th chapter. And we'll read there, starting in the 7th verse, a pretty familiar scripture to all of us, I imagine. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat come, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." But in the 9th verse, the heat. I'm having a hard time. I'm not sure if this is tip different than it normally is or what. Oh, okay. The 9th verse. I'm sorry. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way, and according to the fruit of his doing." This verse of scripture, we heard part of, this sounds awful loud to me, but we heard part of, I believe it was from Gordon, I'm not sure. Somebody read part of this in their sermon during the reunion. And I wanted to start out this evening by talking a little bit about, one, what our trust should really be in. Who should we be trusting in? And I just wanted to lay a little bit of the groundwork for some of the thoughts I have this evening. That our trust, our focus, our thoughts should be upon the Lord and the Lord alone. The 9th verse I've used oftentimes, the heart is deceitful above all. And this is something I often use when we're at youth camp, that we might recognize who we're dealing with. We're talking about ourselves, of course, our own heart, and desperately wicked. That's our nature. That's who we are, if we allow ourselves to be. In the 10th verse, the Lord makes a statement here. "I, the Lord, search the heart." He's the one that looks at us. He's the one that can really tell us. He's the one who knows who we are, knows our thoughts. And he says, "I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Let's look at the book of Proverbs. And I'd like to read a verse or two there in the 4th chapter. Starting in the 20th verse. And he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those who find them. And health unto thy flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As we read in Jeremiah, then here in Proverbs, we see again that the issues of life really come from the heart. The things that we allow to be established in our heart are the things that are going to come forth in our life. You know, Bob here, I noticed this morning, was well color coordinated, had a nice shirt on, nice tie, bright color shoes, bright color socks. Of course, it's hard for me to tell. I don't know these things very well. And that looks good. It looks good. But by looking at him and his nice apparel, I can't tell what's going on in his heart. And as I see the things he does from day to day, I can tell that, you know, his concern for people and his family, and I begin to get a feel for what truly is living within him. But when it right comes down to it, only the Lord really knows. The Lord knows the things that are in our heart. One of the things, and you know, I hesitated to say anything when I began to tonight, but I find that as the years have gone by, there's different kinds of sermons. And I find myself from time to time struggling with different kinds of sermons. Because sometimes there's real evident, black and white, this is the kind of sermon it is. And then there's the kind of sermon for me that is less obvious, we'll say. The message may be harder to obtain, but I'll try my best to spell it out for all of us. So as we contemplate this evening upon the condition of our heart, sorry, I don't know why I'm having a struggle here, but we can fool man sometimes of who we really are, but we can't fool God. I find myself troubled in some things I see in the church. I find myself troubled in things I see in the mirror when I look in the mirror. And how easily I am consumed by the tasks of the day and not necessarily doing what the Lord would have me do. I ponder often when we come to a service like we did this morning, like we did a week ago, like I'll probably have opportunity to do again next week. At the true condition of our heart. Not just that day, not just today, but daily, what consumes us. Proverbs says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. I fear that we're not always diligent in this. I fear that we're not always diligent in keeping our heart from the things of this world. That we're not always diligent in our walk before the Lord. I say I fear because there's times I guess I'm truly fearful for the continuation of the truthfulness of the gospel in its purity and not in its watered down form. There are many scriptures throughout the Bible and the Book of Mormon who talks about our personal righteousness before the Lord. And that with that comes His blessing. I didn't write it down, but there's a verse, I believe it's in Moroni, that talks about, have angels ceased to appear unto men? Has miracles ceased? Certainly not. And we still see miracles, and I'm not saying that. But if there's something lacking, it's not God's fault. If we're lacking in guidance or in direction, in power and the presence of His Spirit, it certainly is not His fault. It is our fault. So as we are here this evening and I ponder some of these sayings that I have a difficult time communicating, I ask you to bear with me. Let's read in Alma in the third chapter, the 97th verse. We're going to read 97 and 98. It says, and finally, all ye that will persist in your wickedness, I say unto you that these are they who shall be hewn down and cast into the fire, except they speedily repent. And I don't want anybody to think here that I'm looking out on a bunch of wicked people, because I don't think I am. But we need to recognize that one of the natures of God is that He's not tolerant of sin or wickedness. I really wanted to read the next verse. And now I say unto you, all you that desire to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. I read a verse similar to this on the opening prayer service for the reunion. And it said, touch not the unclean thing. And I believe this 98th verse is really talking more to you and I, us who have a desire to follow the voice of the good shepherd. There's a requirement that we need to come out. We need to come out of this world. We need to come out of the desires of this world. And I guess it's a sign that you're starting to get a little older. I certainly don't look at myself as being old by any means. But when I look back at perhaps how I viewed some things 20 years ago and now how I view them today, sometimes there's a little bit of difference there, you know. at a time in my life that I might have thought, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I may look back now and think, you weren't doing as good as you thought you were. And so when we take time out to contemplate these things, we must be willing to examine ourselves, not according to Bob, but according to what is written, according to God's standard. That we can examine our own thoughts, and like I said this evening as we talk, you know, I'm really looking at the condition of the heart and the thing that motivates us day by day. And I had a lot of thoughts, and I wrote down a few of them, and I don't know how many of them I'm going to use. But, you know, the question is, are we motivated by money? Is that chief in our life? If you ask me, I say, no, I don't like money. I don't like money at all. And you might walk away from me thinking, who's that guy kidding? Guy that works 70 hours in a week, tell me he doesn't like money. What message are we really saying? Am I kidding myself or someone else? You know, it's all justifiable. I got bills to pay, you know. The sad thing is I'm not always working for money. Sometimes it's for free. But we can say what we know is the right answer. We can even look ourselves in the mirror with no one else in the room and say what we know is the right answer. But what I'm getting at this evening, I guess I want to look a little deeper than that. Not at you, but at me. Only you can look at you. Again, I'm going to refer back to the 23rd verse there in Proverbs. It says, keep thine heart with all diligence. You know, and I look at the word diligence, and I think, you know, that's more than just kind of trying. That's more than just trying hard, maybe, you know. I'm amazed at our world we live in today. You know, I've had opportunity from time to time to put to work a certain young gentleman here in this congregation. One of them's working for me right now, Chase. And Tony's worked for me, and Matt's worked for me. And, of course, Andrew's worked for me. And I wonder sometimes, at the end of the day when I go home, if they think I'm just crazy or a lunatic or, you know, a hypocrite. I don't know what they think, you know. But I'm amazed in our day when I have a lot of people come to work for me and not in the church and put in their 8 hours and go home. And I walk out the door in the evening scratching my head thinking, I could have done an hour what that guy did all day. I know that sounds real prideful and stuff, but it's not. It's just that the guy's moving like a snail. Or he's working hard at trying to hide out. You know, and it's amazing to me the attitude of people when it comes to their work ethic. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because they probably go home to their wife at the end of the day or the end of the week, and, you know, they got the paycheck, and they've worked hard all week. They've done their job. They brought home the bacon. But yet I stand there thinking, I work this guy another week or do I just let him go now? You know. Because I know I can call the hall and get three more guys just like him. And start to struggle all over again. My fear is, at Sunday evening when I go home and look at myself in the mirror and got my Sunday go to meeting clothes on and feeling pretty good about myself, is the Lord standing there shaking his head, thinking, you know, do I fire him now or just let him kid himself for another week? This is my dilemma. This is my fear. That we don't view ourselves as God views us. You know, I look at different gentlemen in our local here. We're lucky to have a local with a lot of ministry in it. And some of these older brothers, or some of them not too much older than I am, spend a lot of time in the missionary field, and they've studied a lot in their life, and they've set a good example. And I think, you know, I'm not even coming up to that standard. I'm not even coming up to that standard. You know? And then we question, or hopefully they question themselves, are they coming up to the standard of the Lord, you know, that the Lord has set? And so I hope that we don't judge ourselves by the guy across the street. That we don't try and rate ourselves on the rungs of the ladder, the spiritual ladder, by how I'm doing or how Adam's doing, or because we really don't know. We don't know what's in the heart of man. Only God does. And I hope this sermon this evening is really to awaken us to take a hard look at ourselves spiritually. Where am I? Where am I and what am I doing? Let's continue to read before I'm out of time. In the 16th chapter of the book of Alma, verse or two, starting in 228th verse. 16th chapter, verse 228. It says, "For behold, this life is a time for man to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is a day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I have said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, wherefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end." Let's continue a few more verses. "For after the day of life, which is given to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein no labor can be performed." No labor performed. "Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, I will repent, I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your body at the time you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance until the end, behold, ye have become subject unto that spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Wherefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you, and the devil hath power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he has also said that the righteous shall set down in the kingdom, in his kingdom, to go no more out, but their garments shall be made white through the blood of the Lamb." There was a testimony given this last weekend that I found to be interesting. It was kind of a small testimony, and I'm not even sure what the part of it I really focused on was the entire testimony. But it was our sister Jennifer Oldham. And she was, I can't even tell you exactly what she was speaking about, but she said it. She found it so important and important to try and teach the young people around her to have a pure heart, to be pure in thought and pure in heart. And that just jumped out and grabbed me. And here in these verses of Scripture, we read the state of the wicked. And I think we know pretty much not a good place to be. It also spoke of not procrastinating the day of our repentance. And I'd say for us in this room, not procrastinating those changes that you know you need to make. If there's things in your life that you know are hanging out there that's just a thorn to you, that's a temptation to you, that, boy, I just need to overcome that one of these days when I get around to it, don't procrastinate it. Don't procrastinate it. Get on with it. Because this day of life passes all too quickly. In the last two verses I wanted to talk a little bit about that I read, it says, and this I know because the Lord said He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth He dwell. This should be encouraging to you and I. Yea, and He has said, also said, that the righteous shall sit down in His kingdom and go no more out, but their garments shall be made white. We have to realize that we're not going to go before the Lord like we are. That we're going to have to be made white. And that's a process that takes us a lifetime, however long that lifetime may be. It's a process that we need to be working on right now. Daily, through repentance, through a righteous walk with the Lord. Excuse me. That our garments may be white through the blood of Christ. And our willingness to follow Him. Our willingness to find our footsteps in His. I'd like to read a verse of scriptures in the scripture in the book of Romans. And I know most of these verses this evening are very familiar to you. Probably ones that I've said right here before. But in Romans, the 12th chapter, starting in the first verse. But I did feel this evening, or today, throughout the day, a need to speak about these things. And not deceive ourselves. The 12th chapter, first verse, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It seems to me that a guy could probably preach an entire sermon about this particular verse right here. Our reasonable service, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That is our reasonable service. That's what He expects. 100%. That's what He expects. You know, when I was a young man, probably barely old enough to drive, I'm not even sure I was old enough to drive yet, I used to go to work with my dad. Not a pleasant experience. But it made money, you know. And I know some of you think I'm probably the ogre that lives under the bridge, especially when it comes to work. But I look like a mild, meek little kitty cat compared to my dad. And I dreaded that, going to work with him, because I knew it was going to be a grueling experience. What hour the clock said made no difference. Make no difference. He didn't care if it was 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. Press on. And till the job was done, you know. And he's 5'3" in height. He has a 30-inch inseam in his pants here. And I would have to run to keep up with him at 6 foot tall. Literally run to keep up with him. After we did this all day, 10 o'clock at night, I'm still running to keep up with him. And he's yelling at me, hurry up, you're slow. And I've some of those bad traits may have been passed on. But my point was, is when you went to work with him, you're giving 100% if you wanted to or not. It was expected. It was required. And I think when we signed on to the Lord's army here, it's expected. It's required. 100%. Every aspect of our life. There's not a Sunday off. There's no vacation. I'm not going to step out for a year and go do my own thing. I'm not going to go basketball game on Sunday morning because I've been wanting to see that for a long time. Well, there's no time off. You know, that's what's your reasonable service. That's reasonable to him. You know, I thought my dad was totally unreasonable. And I know my sons probably think that there's times I'm pretty unreasonable. But I wasn't setting the standard. My dad was. And here, we're not setting the standard. The Lord is. He requires 100%. He didn't ask us if we liked it. It's just the way it is. And then Paul makes another statement here. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." We have to be willing to be transformed, to be changed, to be altered from the direction I'm headed. You know, there's been several times in life that I thought, you know, I ought to go do that. It looks like they're making pretty good money doing that, and, you know, it's something I'd like to do. And, boy, I get over there, get right in the big middle of it, and I don't make any money at all. Okay. And I try hard, and I work hard, and it just doesn't work out. And sometimes I thought, well, you're missing something, you know. And sometimes I thought, you know what? That's the Lord's blessing. He's letting you beat your head against the wall. Maybe you'll learn something one of these days. We have to be willing to be transformed, to be changed. 100%. There's no little part that's left over. There's no way of escape. There's no retreat. And by doing that, by being renewed in our heart and our mind continually to the Lord's perspective, that we're viewing ourselves how He views us, not how we want to view ourselves, will prove that which is good and acceptable in the will of God. Are we willing to do that? At a risk of really stepping on someone's toes here, I'll try and apologize up front. I don't like the month of December. Christmas is in it. And all of you going, oh man, I knew he was a ball humbug. I like Christmas music. It pains me to see the mockery of a solemn and holy thing, such as the birth of the Savior. How it is translated into money, selfishness and pride, vanity. It pains me to see that. I'd just soon skip it. But that's not my choice. And, of course, through modern technology, we're bombarded on every side by it. But certainly each of us would have to come to recognize for ourselves what the perfect will of God concerning that is. But I would encourage you, don't be carried away. Don't be carried away by the vanity of man. Because we're supposed to be transformed from this world and not conformed to it. And I looked a long time ago at some of the things my family did. Traditions. Stuff I enjoyed. One of the traditions my family used to have is jump in a truck on Easter morning and run down to a place called Fossil Creek. Beautiful little spot there northwest of Payson. That's used to how you'd be to get to Camp Verde before the highway was built over the mountain. You'd have to go up through Fossil Creek. And have a picnic, spend a day there, kids playing in the water. Nice time, huh? Certainly not probably how the Lord would have me celebrate the resurrection of his son. First of all, and second of all, of course, it's on a Sunday morning when I should be attending to the Lord's business. So I found that the time had to come. I had to separate myself from some of the traditions of my family and those who have gone before me, because the scriptures have to be our standard, not our neighbor, not our loved ones. The scriptures have to be our standard. Let's continue. Where were we? Romans. Be not conformed to this world. Not always an easy task. Because we're part of it. We're here. We have the same desires that man has had for centuries. We rub elbows with it every day. Don't we, Chase? Chase is one of probably right at the moment 20, 25 guys I got on my job, huh? I don't know, I haven't counted. I'm supposed to count every day, but I've lost track the last few days. And, you know, all those guys kind of have their own agenda and have their own things that think they think is funny and their own lifestyle, different places, different ages. And we rub elbows with those guys all day. But it's our task that the Lord has given us not to conform to this world. Some of you may not go out and rub elbows with it every day, but may watch it on the TV, listen to it in popular music, see it in a grocery store, advertisements. We're bombarded by it on every side. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. And he didn't say just be ye transformed and left you hanging there. He said be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and prove that which is good and acceptable. Let's go back to the book of Alma. I'm always concerned when I fail to give a sermon such as this that it would be too negative. And I don't want it to be negative. And it shouldn't be negative. Sometimes certain things may be a little hard to swallow. But it's all for the benefit and the well-being of the soul. And really, if we are willing for the benefit of our life during the time we spend here upon the earth. 17th chapter, we're going to look at the 67th through the 69th verses. And this is Alma to his son Helaman. And he says in the 67, teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lonely at heart, for such shall find rest for their souls. And I'll remember, my son, to learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and to cry unto God for all your support. Yea, let all your doings be unto the Lord, and wheresoever thing thou goest, let it be unto the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thine heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Here this man is trying to give his son some advice for life. And luckily, and thankfully, it was preserved for our benefit as well. Let all thy doings be unto the Lord. All thy thoughts be directed of the Lord. You know, in recent years, I'm hesitant to say this, the word success, but it seems that the Church of Christ has had some success. Numbers-wise, we've doubled in numbers. Maybe more, I don't know. I haven't kept track of it. In several nations that we would probably just dreamed about being a few years ago. But I wonder where we're at on the Lord's schedule? Does anybody know off the top of their head how many countries in the world are there? I don't know, I'm asking. Don?
200 more.
I was going to say 150, but 200 countries. How many countries do we have members in? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10. We got a big job ahead of us. We've barely stepped out. We're still in the foyer. We haven't really got out there. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done, because it's His doing. But somebody had to be willing, you know. One day the Lord said to Brian, I want you to go to Africa. And if he had said, no, not today, maybe tomorrow, I don't know where we'd be. Hopefully the Lord found somebody else. But we have to be willing. We have to probably be willing in things that aren't quite as glorious as that, as being able to get on an airplane and fly to Africa and you know, convert 1,000 people. There's stuff to be done everywhere. And some of it's going to be pretty painstakingly, I'm afraid. But it's not going to be accomplished if we're not willing. Someone's got to talk to the guy down the street, the guy at work, the next door neighbor who doesn't like you. You got to be willing. You got to be willing and trust in the Lord. And I would venture a guess that if we're not being directed by the Lord, if the affections of our heart are placed somewhere besides the Lord, it's not going to be us that do it. It's not going to be me. The Lord's going to have someone in His church that's willing. The choice is, do I want to be a part of it? Do I want to be ready when the one guy on my job is willing to talk? And the affections of my heart are set on something else. I'm going to miss the opportunity. I'm going to miss the opportunity. How can we know that we're fulfilling this scripture? I'm going to read it again. Let all thy doings be unto the Lord. Wheresoever thou goest, let it be unto the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affection of thy hearts be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and He will direct thee for good. Are we fulfilling this? Are you? Am I fulfilling this scripture in our life? Or maybe just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. If we're chasing our own dreams, if we're following after our own desires, we're probably not fulfilling the scripture in our life. We have to be willing to turn it over 100%, like I was speaking a minute ago about my dad expecting, requiring 100%. The Lord expects 100%. And that doesn't just mean going through the motions 100%. It means the affections of our heart 100%. Many people in the world, as I speak with them, or I listen sometimes because I don't talk a lot. Depends on who you ask, I guess. Some people think I talk too much. I hear a lot of references being made to movies. Oh, yeah, you remember seeing such and such, you know, famous line. And I have a couple of those that I've been guilty of saying myself. There's a particular line in the movie Ice Age where that little, what is that critter, Andrew? The sloth catches his tail on fire. It's pretty funny. And the other guy says, hey, Lord of the Flame, your tail's on fire. But I hear this reference to popular culture. And I hear it a lot in the Church of Christ, which tells me someone's spending a lot of time watching a lot of movies in order to categorize all this stuff in their mind. And I'm not going to be the judge on whether that's good or bad or otherwise. But I would question. And that's what I hope you do. I'm not questioning you, I'm questioning me. And you need to question yourself. You know, can I make reference, just one right after another, that Alma said such and such, or Nephi, when he was over there, he said such and such, as quickly as I can say what some movie star said on some movie? I venture a guess not. And so I ask, is the affections of your heart truly placed upon the Lord? Continually and forever. Let's continue. Malachi. We're going to read there a couple verses in the third chapter, starting in the 16th through the 18th verses. And we know, most of us are familiar with this, it's speaking to Israel, and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But the part where we pick up is talking about if they would do what they're supposed to be doing. And they that fear the Lord spoke off one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and their thoughts upon his name, and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son who served him. They shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that served God and him that served him not. This is my desire that for myself, for each of my brothers and sisters, that the Lord will look upon us in this way. And that we'll be classified amongst those that fear the Lord and spoke of him one to another, and whose names are written in that book of remembrance. And not find ourselves ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous. This word that we find throughout the Scriptures, fear, those that fear the Lord. Sometimes I fear that we don't take that serious. That we envision this God, Creator, something different than he is. Something different than he has been with the children of men throughout the generations of the world. He is to be feared. He is to be feared. For he's true to his word and exacting in everything. And if he has spoken it, it shall happen. And our own feelings and our own thoughts will not alter that. Let's look in Galatians. In the 6th chapter, starting in the 7th verse, I've read this many times, but it seemed fitting. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. This is kind of an unfair thing, in my opinion, but, you know, my opinion doesn't make any difference. We are physical. We are of the flesh. Everything we do is physical, or most everything we do is physical. But he's calling us to rise above that. For if he soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Anybody in here ever get weary? I do. Sometimes I get weary in well-doing. There are just not enough of me to go around. But the Lord says, don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. When we have opportunity to do good, we're letting our light shine. I find myself, it used to be hardly every time I drive by somebody on the road that had a flat tire, I'd get out and help them change their tire. I got to tell you, there's rarely a time I help change someone's tire anymore. I just don't have time, which is a shame. That's a shame. Because the things I'm doing because I don't have time aren't counting for eternity. They're just here today and gone today. They're not counting for eternity. Be not weary in well-doing. I think to close with that scripture, and I hope that I've left you something to think about. Certainly I can't hope to ever be associated with a finer, more loving group of individuals than I find in the Church of Christ. But I also recognize our humanness and that we're no different than humanity that's lived from the beginning, and that we can deceive ourselves into a state of comfort and ease. So I ask that you take a hard look at yourself, not at your neighbor, at yourself. That you might see yourself, each one of us might see ourselves as the Lord sees us. May God bless you.